Nisreen Abu Zayat was working in Jerusalem as a journalist, but it was becoming increasingly difficult for her to conduct her work and field research for Palestinian or foreign media. She decided to enroll in a one-year MA course in media regulation at the London School of Economics in England.
In order to work in journalism or in media in Israel or in Palestine, or let's say in Israel mainly, you have to have something called a press card. And the press card is obtained from the governmental press office. And for the last 2 years, there was, like, the governmental press office stopped issuing or had his own restrictions on issuing press cards for Palestinian journalists. So many, many Palestinian journalists who worked within foreign media, they had problems in maintaining their jobs, and they lost their jobs because of that. Because this press card, it gives you access to territory, it gives you access to work. And if you don't have that card, then you cannot really work.
A press card used to be valid for 1 or 2 years, but nowadays, for Palestinian applicants, a press card's validity is restricted to a few weeks, and it takes Nisreen an unpredictable amount of time to renew her card. Her journalistic activities encounter further obstacles due to the decimated infrastructure in Palestine.
Like the whole media institution in the Palestinian territories is like was destroyed by the Israelis. Like no, like all the infrastructure for our like the media was destroyed by the Israelis, including the internet. Many radio stations were, even the private ones, like all the equipment, everything was destroyed in different invasions by the Israeli army. Like they just entered the areas, entered the radio station, and they just destroyed all the equipment inside of it, or the transmitters, like everything. The whole like Palestinian television building was completely destroyed, actually.
The development of Palestinian media institutions after the Oslo Accord was meant to play an important part in the process of the establishment of a Palestinian state.
Even when you have television or radio, it's not only a media, you know, like you're producing something. It's a voice of a nation, it's a voice of a state. So it's also part of the institution that you're trying to build, and that is a Palestinian state. So the media, the establishment, or what the Palestinian Authority was trying to create in the past few years, let's say 10 years, was also like one of the symbols of the Palestinian independence on the Palestinian land.
In Nisreen's eyes, the content or technology of Palestinian media might not have reached as high a standard as that in Israel or Europe, but Palestinian media were the part of a dream that got realized. She blames the lack of objectivity in media coverage to a large extent for the escalation of the conflict.
And I'm sorry, I mean, like, really, sometimes I feel really bad for it, but I think that the media in Palestine and Israel failed, and a big, big fail in really reflecting the reality, I mean, what's going on back there. I think that the media really played a role in escalating the situation and getting it to where we are now today, in this despair, in this not having confidence in the other, and in the fear that the people hold.
Nisreen, who continued to be part of the editorial team of the English language magazine Palestine Israel Journal, believes that improvement of the situation can also be brought about through media.
Some people might disagree with me, but I think that also one of the ways to heal the two peoples is also through media. And one of the ways to get the situation back into track is also through media.
The first institution in Israel that is fully dedicated to the creative and critical use of new media in artistic practice is the Digital Arts Lab in Holon, near Tel Aviv. Galit Eilat studied and produced media art in Amsterdam before she followed her vocation as director of the Digital Arts Lab.
In a way, it's very strange because Israel is one of the leading country with technology, most of in surveillance technology, but the way that technology entered to society and also in art, it's very late and it's far way behind Europe or the US.
The mission of Digital Arts Lab is to act as catalyst for critical discourse on new media and technologies culture, beyond questions of video art or interface design. It searches to support development of and experimentation with non-linear media-supported genres of narration to provide a multi-perspective contemporary form of expression. Galit feels that Israel's artscape has to catch up in the field of electronic and digital arts.
One of the interesting things, I think, we are sitting now after the first video biennale in Israel. The video started like 30 years ago, and here is the first video biennale, so the video now is really in hype in Israel, and the hype, I think, in Europe and the States like over 5 years ago, or maybe more.
Galit's plans for this young media lab include access to production facilities for local and international media artists, as well as socio-cultural programs to integrate the lab's neighborhood and its schools in the development of media literacy and production know-how.
I think there is one or two artists that are doing, you know, net art works, and I'm talking about dealing with media, not just a designer, not with flash, not with these shiny things, and trying to deal with economic question, with the sociological question, or the environment that they are developing the work in.
In the center of Tel Aviv, we find another organization that is dedicated to open accessibility to media production. At Indie Media, I meet half a dozen people who are busily typing into Indie Media's online discussion forum, popping in to return mini DV cameras, or working in the sound studio. Momo Yoel, one of the coordinators at Indie Media, highlights the importance of a more integrative media policy when reflecting on the conflict situation and its problems for the whole society.
We think that the communication is something that belongs to the public. We think that we must take this right to our hands as citizens and express our views, our feelings, the way we see it. And this is going to contribute to more democratic society and also to process of democratization of the media, which is completely not democracy at the moment, because there is very few people which deciding about content, deciding about what you're going to hear, what you're going to read, what you're going to see.
Momo criticizes the limited distribution channels that are available to independent media and, foremost, the difficulties to conduct any media work at all in the occupied territories.
I mean, first, it's very difficult to move in the occupied territories for us as well for the Palestinian. It's very difficult to go outside with a camera, because if the soldiers see that you taking videos, they don't want you to do that, and sometimes they think that you carry a weapon, and this is dangerous as well.
Indie Media produces regular video journals that are broadcast on the open channel of community cable television. Towards the end of 2002, an issue focusing on the Israel-Palestine conflict was completed. The Occupation Journal documents peace demonstrations and activism.
Thank you. כמו שאני מבין את זה, שרון הולך ליצירת מצב של אין ברירה. זו נבואה שמגשימה את עצמה.
The transmission of the occupation journal was delayed for many weeks by the media regulation office. The sound of the Israeli memorial siren, which commemorates the Holocaust in combination with images of the destruction of Palestinian towns, was considered too provocative. The lack of freedom within the contemporary media structure for discourse about the occupied territories is, according to Momo, responsible for the radicalization of political positions as we find them today.
If there was an ordinary daily basis process of people talking and expressing their problems, probably they won't come to a situation when there is an explosion and there's going to be some kind of negotiation between powers and between groups to try to sort out at least some of the problems, maybe not all of them.
Ronny Schander is working at the Alternative Information Center in Jerusalem. Before the Second Intifada, the city's bazaar and historic quarters had been packed with international visitors. Now the center of Jerusalem resembles a ghost town. Soldiers patrol every corner. Alternative Information Center is a collaborative Israeli-Palestinian initiative. Its aim is to make available information, analysis and interpretation about the conflict and to establish itself as independent source for journalists. Ronny sketches out the national mediascape.
Television is mostly state. The newspapers are much more independent or corporate, actually, which are owned mostly by three families here who are the main holders of all media agencies. And radio is mixed because some of the radio stations are actually military radio.
The less accessible the occupied territories become to journalists, the more the Israeli Defense Force establishes itself as main information source for journalistic inquiries.
So the Israeli military is a very strong spokesperson department, and we try to confront it because most reporters are not able to be everywhere in the Palestinian territories when something happens.
Ronny emphasizes the problem that is caused when one party in a conflict, in this case the Israeli state represented through the Israeli Defense Force, has a monopoly on the dissemination of information.
Then we try to find all the information that the IDF puts out and see how we can confront it and put actual information that denies their allegations or shows that there is more information that they're not giving out about a certain situation.
The cleanup work has been completed. It's as if it was a virtual terror attack, but it wasn't a virtual terror attack, it was a real attack. And at least 10 people have been killed by that suicide bomber, some 50 wounded, many of them teenagers, heading to school. The attack took place just about 7:20 a.m. This morning during the morning rush hour, people heading to work, high school pupils heading to their lessons, when the bomber boarded either at this bus stop or at the stop before.
In contrast to initiatives such as In the Media, which aim at developing alternative and diverse media distribution networks, Ronny's strategy is to utilize the existing dominant vehicle of mass media.
I've gone through a training of of media work, basically learning how the communication and media industry in Israel functions. How, what is the language that the media speaks? What is it interested in? How does it function? What is the hierarchy and the structure of each media group, whether it be television, radio, or newspaper? And through that, trying to understand, trying to learn who are the reporters, who are the journalists, what are they interested in, and trying to get them to cover stories that we think are important.
The Alternative Information Center publishes its English language e-journal at www.newsfromwithin.org and www.alternativenews.org.